When is the last time you thought about the health of your spine? Chances are you probably haven't, unless you've injured it or you've been told by someone that there's something going on with it and maybe you should get it checked out. But what if instead of waiting for something to happen to you to force you into thinking about the health of your spine, you started doing something for your spine today to take care of it for years to come? Hi everyone, I'm Allie DeRoma and I'm your host, and I'm really excited for today because we're kicking off our first mini-series that I'm calling Deep Dives. So this means we'll be discussing one topic, a larger topic, in depth for a few episodes in a row. Each episode we do on this larger topic will have different smaller subtopics that we're going to break down. And I want to do this because I do want to keep the podcast episodes a little bit shorter, 30 minutes or less. I also think that separating out these episodes will be helpful because we're discussing some topics that will require some brain power and focus. And I want to give you time to absorb the information and fully digest what we're talking about so that it isn't overwhelming. Because I know for me, when I was first learning about anything about the body, it's always helpful to break it down into smaller chunks rather than, you know, listen to a 3-hour lecture all at once. The first deep dive we're going to be doing is on the spine. I'm going to break this down into 3 or 4 parts. And today in part one, we're going to go into an overview of the spine. It's mostly going to be an anatomical overview. And we're also going to look at movement available at the different regions or sections of your spine. We're going to look at what your spine is actually capable of and what positions it can go into. We're also going to talk about what we can do to maintain a healthy spine, and especially why it's important to focus on our spinal health, especially in our modern day lives. Part two, we're going to talk more about our discs and disc conditions that can come up, as well as postural imbalances. And in part three, we're going to talk a little bit more about how we can accommodate our spine for different movements or exercises depending on what you need. We're going to kick today off by discussing this first part, which is going to be the anatomical structure of our spine. And I want to start here because it's going to help you gain a better understanding of where your starting point is or where your reference point is when we are discussing spinal position and spinal alignment. We're going to begin with looking at the natural curves of the spine. And these are curves that exist in our body for a reason. And a lot of people or textbooks might actually call these your ideal curves or your optimal curves of the spine. You could also hear them as being referenced as neutral curves of the spine. We're going to start by looking from the top of your spine and moving downward. So if you were to visualize this, right underneath your head is the first section we're going to look at, and that is your cervical spine. So this is also called your neck. Now, if you're looking at this section of your spine, what you're going to see is that there is a forward curve of the spine. This position of the spine can also be called a convex anterior curve. And where our spine is positioned is in a natural state of extension because there's an arching position going on. If you go into the second section down, that's going to be your thoracic spine. So that's where your rib cage is. It's your middle back. You can see that your spine starts to curve or round backward. And this is also called a convex posterior curve. And that places our spine in this natural state of flexion. As you go lower into the lumbar spine, you're going to once again see this forward curve that you saw in the cervical spine. So that's once again that convex anterior curve, and it places the lumbar spine in a natural state of extension. And then the very lowest part, we're gonna put your sacrum and your coccyx together, and that's gonna create another backward curve like you saw in the thoracic spine. And this is that convex posterior curve, and also places the sacrum in that natural state of flexion. So you can start to see and sense a pattern here, right? So cervical spine has a forward curve, thoracic spine has a backward curve, lumbar spine forward, sacrum backward. Now these natural curves in our spine exist for very specific reasons, and they're important. So number one, our spine has these curves because they promote shock absorption, either from above or below. So when we're carrying something, or say when we're jumping, and our spine needs to be able to absorb the shock of those forces. This is also where we can find the best breath activation and support ourselves from the inside. So it promotes a lot of stability as well. And we can recruit that deep inner unit of support. That would be your diaphragm, your pelvic floor, the transverse abdominis, as well as the multifidi. These curves also help us have less stress on our joints. They help us to balance out load and weight of the upper and lower body. And they allow for more movement or ease of movement and mobility. And we can also be more responsive and more resilient to different forces or factors that we might encounter, say, in our daily life, doing an activity, or even when we're doing a workout or a movement class. As I mentioned above, you might also hear these natural curves of the spine referred to as a neutral spine. So you can think of neutral as natural. And if you're someone who takes Pilates classes or you've done any sort of weight training, you've probably heard your instructor reference neutral spine pretty often, and for a good reason, because of everything I just listed above, but also especially if you are trying to promote better breath patterns, if you are carrying more weight, the neutral position of the spine is going to promote more efficiency of these types of movements that you'll be doing. Here's where I want to plug something I think is really important, and that is everybody's spinal curves are going to be slightly different. So even if you have a neutral curve in your spine, it might be different than the neutral curve in my spine, and that could be in any of those sections. And while it is absolutely true, all of those statements that I listed above of the benefits of these neutral curves of the spine, it is also completely true that we won't be living in these specific neutral positions of the spine all the time. And nor should you, because your body's not designed to live in one specific placement. We're not stick figures and we're not robots. So you're going to be moving in and out of this neutral position or neutral zone often when you're living your life, when you're doing activities, and when you're working out and doing movement classes. But it is still important to know what neutral is in your body. It's important to strengthen yourself in that position, but it's also important to strengthen yourself in a variety of positions and be able to understand how to come back to neutral for yourself. So here is one real life position where you're not going to be in a perfectly neutral position all the time. Something as simple as walking. When you're walking, your pelvis is going to be rotating. Your thoracic spine, or I should say your rib cage, is going to be rotating. And what you're going to learn later on in this episode is that when your pelvis moves, it's going to influence or affect your lumbar spine. And when your rib cage moves, it's also going to influence or affect your thoracic spine. So when we're walking, ideally in that gait pattern, you've got rotation and movement of your pelvis as well as the thoracic spine, which means those two regions of your spine are also going to be moving in and out of neutral, but they're going to stay more in this neutral zone because we're not doing these huge movements. Another example would be, say, if you were putting away holiday decorations, and I'm just going to think about a Christmas tree right now. If you were reaching up to get ornaments off and put them into the box to store them away, and then once you've done all that reaching and lowering and putting them in, you close the lid up, you've got to carry it somewhere to store. You might have to reach it to a top shelf, or maybe you have to bend over and put it down. You might have to twist and rotate holding that box. Well, you're not going to be in neutral for that. You're going to be moving into different planes of motion or movements available at your spine, but you're not going to live in that position either. You're going to be able to come back to that neutral anatomical reference zone that we just talked about. Here's another example of why these curves are so important. So, say you had a long wooden board and you wanted to balance that board on its side, just on its really thinnest edge, not the long edge, the short edge. And you put it on the ground and it might stay there for a moment or maybe a little bit longer if it's a thicker board. But as soon as something like a breeze came by, if someone barely pushed it with their finger, chances are that board would fall pretty easily and not really have any way to fight against those forces that pushed it over. Whereas, comparatively, if there was a board that had maybe some holes in it or spaces and slats, it had some curve to it, it wasn't straight up and down, when a breeze came by, it would probably just go right through that board, right? It wouldn't really have any issues. And if something were to knock it over or push into it, it probably wouldn't fall right away. It would be able to move and shift around and then come back to its natural resting state. And that's really what the curves of our spine do. And also, I did not mention this, what our discs do. Our discs create those little bits of space between our vertebrae in order to cushion it, but also to help it be responsive and resilient to forces and loads, like a breeze or someone trying to push you over. So in a nutshell, the curves of your spine are important and they exist there for a reason, and we want to maintain those curves as much as we possibly can. I also want to mention your intervertebral discs here really quickly, but we're going to go into them in more detail in the next episode. So these you can think of as your little shock absorbers, and they're filled with fluid and they're just laying there between each vertebrae. So then you're able to move and jump and change positions with your spine without causing a lot of friction between the bones. Now, if you're listening to this and you're wondering, how would I know if I have these natural curves in my spine or if they exist? Well, you can do a self-assessment at home. So you would either want to use a wall space or the floor for this, and that's in order to give yourself some feedback to understand where the placement of your spine is. So if you are lying down, I would recommend your knees being bent. And if you were using the wall, I would recommend walking your feet a couple inches away from the wall and giving your knees a slight bend to them as well. So that way you can feel your whole spine and back against the wall without too much pressure from your legs. Here's what you're going to go for when you're starting to notice the position of your spine. First, you want to have the back of your head touching the wall or the floor, and then there will be a little bit of curve under your neck or in your cervical spine. Then you're going to feel and notice your thoracic spine, which is going to also be your rib cage, touching the floor or touching the wall. And we want most of the ribs touching that center back line toward the bottom rib as well. Then in the lumbar spine, you're gonna have a little bit of a curve. So there might be some space between your lower back and the ground. Again, that's gonna be different for everybody. And then you're also going to wanna feel your sacrum or tailbone area heavy on the floor as well. So for some people, if you're laying on your back and you feel a lot of strain and stress in your neck and you feel like it's kind of tilting way backward, you may need to place a little towel underneath it in order to bring your head and cervical spine in alignment with your thoracic spine. And as I mentioned earlier, some people may have a lot of curve in their lumbar spine, and some people may have a very small curve to almost no curve in their lumbar spine. This can be due to, yes, the spinal curves, but also due to muscular development and how your glutes are positioned or how developed your glutes are as well. If they're very developed, it can raise your pelvis really high off the floor or your sacrum, and that can make you feel like you have an excessive or too large of a curve in your lumbar spine. And if you didn't have very developed glutes or you just had more petite glutes, then you may feel like you don't have a lot of space at all between your lower back and the floor. Some people will just naturally as well let their lower back roll into the ground. So if that's you, see if you can create a little bit of a curve without causing too much tension or pressure. And some of these positions may feel a little bit foreign or unfamiliar to you, but as long as they don't feel painful and they don't feel as though they're causing excess stress or strain, then they're probably your neutral curves. Now, if you do this at home and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't have these neutral curves, don't worry. There are ways to change these curves of your spine. There are ways to improve them, and we're gonna talk about that just in a moment. So now that we got that overview of the spine done, let's talk about each segment again, but we're gonna talk more about the movement available in your spine and more details about these sections and what makes them unique. So back at the top at your cervical spine, in your neck you have 7 cervical vertebrae. And if you were to look at a picture of your cervical spine, you'll see that they're small, they're thin, they're fairly close together. And this allows for this area of your spine to be highly mobile, meaning it has a lot of available range of motion in a very healthy cervical spine. You can move your neck in all directions and all planes of motion. So you can move it forward into flexion, a more rounding movement. You can arch it back into extension, which it already has natural extension, so that movement can happen fairly easily. You can move it side to side in the coronal plane. So that's going to be if you were to tilt your head to one side, like your ear comes towards your shoulder, or even you can do these little lateral shifts. And you can also do rotation. So that means simply if you were to look, you know, in traffic, if you were driving from side to side. And you can also do a combination of all of these different movements or ranges available. It may seem strange to you that your cervical spine, the vertebrae there, are so small, since it has to support the weight of your head, which your head weighs anywhere from 10 to 12 pounds. But your first two cervical vertebrae are very uniquely designed in order to support the weight of your head. So the first vertebrae is called your atlas. Think of that Greek god where he's holding the world on his back. That's Atlas. That's essentially what your first cervical vertebrae is doing. And then the one below it is called your axis. And these two cervical vertebrae work together to support the weight of your head. And you may be wondering now why so many people have, you know, neck tension and cervical spine issues. Well, it's only when our cervical spine isn't quote unquote healthy, meaning that we've lost the supportive curve in this region of our spine. Because when our head isn't balanced over our cervical spine, it's causing a lot more stress and strain on those vertebrae. And if you think about how our lives are right now, a lot of people have what we would call a forward head posture, meaning that their head is not quite balanced right over their shoulders. And what it does is it kind of pulls the cervical spine out of its natural state of extension and flattens it out. So remember that board image that I told you about? It wasn't very supportive because it just went straight up and down. That's basically what's happening to your cervical spine when you've got a forward head posture for a long period of time. And so the weight of your head, rather than being 10 to 12 pounds, is gonna start to feel like double that to your cervical spine. This is why it's so important that we are talking about the placement of your head when you are positioning yourself or you're moving your body, because it directly affects your cervical spine. And I want to reference this again in later sections, the thoracic spine and the lumbar spine, because your cervical spine and your head, they're attached, right? Your thoracic spine and your rib cage are attached. Your pelvis and your lumbar spine, they're attached. So when the head is moving, it affects the cervical spine, like I just said. When the ribs are moving, it's affecting the thoracic spine. And when the pelvis moves, it affects the lumbar spine. So we're gonna touch on those when we get into those segments. But I wanna go back for a minute to where I said and quoted that we had a lot of range of motion in a healthy cervical spine. And I am saying this because in our modern world, in our modern lives, we really don't need to use the full range of motion we have in our cervical spine, because our lives just simply don't require it of us. And I say this a lot, and it may be a made up word, but we've been convenienced out of a lot of different movement in our life. And it's very evident, you know, in our whole body, but absolutely in our spine. Because at one point in human history, we did need all this available range of motion in our spine and in our neck. And that was because we were hunting. We were looking for food to nourish our bodies. We were maybe looking for predators. We were gathering seeds and plants. So we were having to look up and down and all around and in between. And we had to use the whole capacity of our spine. But nowadays, we are typically looking forward most of the day, typically looking at a device. And sure, we do have to move our head to some degree in our neck, you know, if we're driving or if we're, you know, moving around our house. But for the most part, not as much as we used to. So you'll probably hear me say this a lot, but I truly believe that now that we know so much about our bodies and our spines, specifically in this episode, it's really our responsibility to make sure that we're starting to restore the movement that our bodies are asking for and really are designed to do. So in the context of what we're talking about, we need to be thinking about what kinds of movements or exercises or practices that we can do to help restore these natural curves of our spine and to help restore this full range of motion that we have available. And I really say this because, You have the capacity to do this. You are absolutely capable of doing this. And whether you've had an injury in your past or any reason to start thinking about your spine or not, you can start to take care of it now and today. And that way you're maintaining the health of your spine so your body can do whatever you ask of it to do. And I do want you to keep in mind that there are other factors that will contribute to your cervical spine, not just your head. It also has to do with your shoulder placement and your scapula and your thoracic spine as well, because nothing in our bodies work in isolation, which we're going to talk about a little bit more in our next section. Okay, so going down into the thoracic spine now, you have 12 thoracic vertebrae, which correlate with your 12 ribs. If you were to look at a picture of your thoracic vertebrae compared to your cervical vertebrae, you'll see that these vertebrae are a little bit larger. However, you still have a good range of motion available in this region of your spine. You can still flex and extend, so move forward and back. You can still rotate, and you can still move side to side. You can still do combinations of all of these movements. Remember at the beginning that we talked about the natural curve of the thoracic spine is a slightly convex posterior curve, meaning it's biasing towards a rounded spine. There's a natural flexion happening in the spine, which I think a lot of people don't realize because we're taught a lot to, you know, sit straight up and pull our shoulders back. And while that's all good and well, and we do want nice open shoulders and nice long spines, what tends to happen is that over time, our spines, our thoracic spine in particular, can start to flatten out and lose that curve, that slightly convex posterior backward curve. And that can lead to other issues down the road. And conversely, sometimes you'll see people that have an excessively rounded thoracic spine, and that can cause other issues down the road, which we'll talk about here in just a second. You may also see a lot of people posting on social media about the thoracic spine and the placement and the mobility of it. And this is really for a good reason, because your thoracic spine, it's at the center of your spine. And that's important to note because, like I just mentioned in the previous section of our cervical spine, nothing in our bodies work in isolation. Everything is related to one another. So, for instance, if you have lower back tension, pain, chronic issues, oftentimes it's not coming from your lumbar spine. It might actually be coming from your thoracic spine. And the same is true with the cervical spine, because if there's a restriction in one area of the spine and any sort of mobility, it's going to affect the areas above and below. Your thoracic spine placement and mobility is also going to directly influence your breathing function. So for example, if your thoracic spine is excessively rounded or flexed forward, what can happen is you may have a shortness of breath. A lot of times people with a very rounded thoracic spine will be doing a lot of shallow breathing because it's closing off a lot of their lung capacity. And the opposite could be true. If somebody had a more flattened or even extended thoracic spine, they may be someone that's breathing too forward or anterior, and they're not getting the full capacity of their lungs into the posterior side of their body or the back side of their body. So it's really hard to gain this full optimal breath pattern when the rib cage is not positioned or the thoracic spine is not positioned directly over the pelvis. Going down a little lower now, we're going to look at the lumbar spine. So in the lumbar spine, you have 5 lumbar vertebrae. And these, compared to the other two segments we just looked at, are going to be the largest and thickest vertebrae. And that means they're great for weight bearing, but they are less mobile. However, they do still move. They do still flex and extend, so round and arch. Remember, the lumbar spine has natural extension within it. That's where it lives and sits. But it can also rotate, and it can also laterally flex. What you'll notice with the lumbar spine though as well is you can't really isolate your lumbar spine moving without your pelvis moving. Just like you can't move your ribs without moving your thoracic spine or much of your head without moving your cervical spine. They're all attached and connected. So think of your lumbar spine as the trunk of the tree, not the roots, but the trunk. And the trunk can still move, but it's very sturdy and stable compared to the branches and the leaves, right? So we can talk about the lumbar spine being the trunk, the thoracic spine being the branches, and the cervical spine being the leaves. So the lumbar spine can still respond and move and rotate, and we do need it to. Remember how I talked about the walking pattern? When our pelvis moved and rotated, our lumbar spine is also going to respond by moving and rotating a little bit too. So we want to promote a sense of movement through the lumbar spine and not rigidity. Because again, like everything in our body, always believing we have to be in one fixed position in one spot or do something the same way all the time is gonna lead to issues down the road because we are limiting the natural movement available at the spine. And your spine does not want to be limited. We're gonna move down into the last section now, which is gonna be the sacrum and the coccyx. So your sacrum, we're gonna think of this as the roots of the tree. Your sacrum is composed of fused vertebrae, usually 4 to 5, and there's no movement between the vertebrae here. And your coccyx is about 3 to 4 fused bones, and you're not really gonna isolate the coccyx, so we're not really going to talk about that very much at all. But looking at the sacrum again, there is not much movement there. Your sacrum articulates with your lowest lumbar vertebrae, your L5. So you commonly will hear the term L5-S1. That's where the sacrum and the lumbar spine articulate. But your sacrum will also articulate with your pelvis or your ilium. It's your top pelvic bone that kind of curves and arches toward the back. It's like the top of your hip bone. And our sacrum really loves stability. Although, again, going back to that walking example, but your sacrum will have some movement in our gait pattern. So when you're walking, running, or doing any sort of rotation with the lower body, but again, it's minimal. Oftentimes people can experience pain in the sacroiliac joint or the SI joint when there is either too much movement going on and there's not enough stability, or conversely, when there is not enough movement going on. So we need a balance of both. So that was our overview of the spine. And if you're sitting here thinking like, okay, now I understand a little bit more about my spine, like what am I going to do though to keep it healthy and to keep it mobile and strong and active? Well, I'll tell you this, it doesn't take much. But specifically, I have this series on Modern Body called The Supple Spine. And I created this series because I wanted to really hone in on the health of our spine and break down each segment individually and then work them collectively as well. So within this category of supple spine classes that I have, we break down flexion and extension for the cervical spine, the thoracic spine, the lumbar individually, and then how they all work together and working on segmental movement of the spine and how we initiate movement of the spine and what really these spinal positions or movements will feel like. I also have one that breaks down rotation and side-to-side lateral flexion. And then there are classes that do a combination of everything to start challenging your spine a little bit more. And I call it the supple spine because, and I call this a supple spine more than just a flexible spine or a strong spine or a mobile spine. Because when we're creating suppleness, that means that we're able to really move the spine. It can twist, bend, it can fold, it can arch, it can do combinations of all of these movements without stiffness. It can adapt and respond to new situations. Fluid, it moves easily, and it just moves with you. So that's really why I call it the supple spine, because it encompasses all the qualities that we want to have within our body and within our spine to be able to stay resilient, live our lives without restriction, feel capable and strong, and be able to take on whatever task or activity that we wanna do. You can also take a Pilates class. Pilates classes inherently focus on spinal health. A lot of other movement-based classes too. You could do mobility classes if you wanted to that are specific to different regions of your spine. We do need to strengthen our spine. So doing a little bit of strength training, we need to know how to hold our spine still in a position. And we also need to know how to let our spine move and come back to that original positioning that we want to maintain and call our home base. And again, a little bit of spinal work goes a very long way. I'm not saying you have to spend a whole hour on this. A lot of the classes that I teach that are supple spine classes are anywhere from 10 minutes to 20 minutes, and they're very specifically focused on your spine. And you'll gain back strengthening as well. You'll gain mobility through other areas of your body, and you'll learn to do all of those things of mobility, of strengthening, of moving naturally, and responding to different tasks, loads, and demands depending on the exercises that we have in class that day. So that's a wrap. Take care of your spine. If you've learned anything from this episode, it's that start taking care of your spine now. Don't wait until there's something that happens to you, an injury, an issue, a condition, an accident, God forbid that might happen. Start taking care of it today. You will not regret it, I promise. I really started doing Pilates in my 20s, and I am so grateful today to be in my 30s and have spent over the last 10 years working on my spinal health because, I mean, knock on wood, you never know what can happen. Even if you do all these spine exercises, you can still get an injury, you can still get a condition. And 9 times out of 10, even if people aren't experiencing any sort of issues with their spine, like even myself, for example, if I were to go get an x-ray or an MRI, I'm sure there would be something not great about my spine. I could have a compressed disc. I could have something out of whack. But the thing is, like, you can have a healthy spine and still have different conditions that come up. But the wonderful thing is that you can do something about it. You are capable. You have the tools available. It's accessible to you. All you have to do is go out and do it, which I know sometimes feels like a big task, but again, a little really does go a long way. In good spinal health, I will send you off, and I hope that you join me next week for part 2, where we talk more about our discs and other conditions that can arise in the spine and what to do about them. Thank you so, so much for joining me today. I had a great time talking about the spine. I really do nerd out on this kind of stuff. So if you enjoyed it, it would mean so much to me if you could leave a rating or a review so other people can learn more about this podcast and find this podcast. And it doesn't have to be a long review. It could be one sentence. You can also find me over on Instagram at Ali DeRoma. You can also find more information about Modern Body when you go to modernbody.io and see all the classes we have available there, and check out the supple spine classes. I hope you have a wonderful day and a wonderful week, and I will plan on seeing you next week for part 2. Bye.